This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Seven were hospitalized today as two giant women were seen at the side of a ring. The only witness who was blindfolded said it was sounded like two cats screeching in terror. There were no survivors.
The literary world is filled with thousands of brilliant tomes, undiscovered jewels of knowledge and insight, ethereal texts of beauty and heartbreak, bearing the soul of the human condition. These works are just waiting, begging to be told. The stories herein, however, are not those kinds of works. Tonight, prepare yourself to witness a battle of the ages. In this corner, the men and women known only as Nighthorse. With their combined intellectual weight and steadfastness, they steel themselves for the slaughter to come. And in this corner, from the dark dredges of the internet, the worst of the worst kind of literary abortion, fan fiction. Bad fan fiction. Fan fiction so terrible that to even approach it is to go mad. The battleground, dramatic reading. The weapons, alcohol. Inebriating substances which, when our readers make mistakes and fumbles in their recitation, will be imbibed in order to preserve their mental stability. The winner is determined by who falls first, the selection of fanfiction or a member of Nighthorse. This is Friday Night Fanfiction.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the first episode ever of Friday Night Fan Fiction!
You're way too excited about this.
Oh, yes.
Oh, get a job, liberal! I was saying boo words. Anyways, good evening and welcome to Friday Night Fan Fiction, where readers take on terrible fan fiction at the risk of inebriation. This is our first episode ever officially as Friday Night Fan Fiction. As such, we're going to introduce the typical hosts and give a little history about ourselves for any new listeners. Let's start with Logan.
Okay. My name is Logan. I go by Jujkin. I started on this show back... Steve, when I started on the show.
I think you started in, I would say, early 2012. You joined up after a lot of our nerdy show crossovers, and you came on to do, like, the two community things, and we
needed... I came on to make the show work.
Yes. No.
I made the website work.
You did make the website show. Work for quite a while, and you were an integral part with Nighthorse Media, which we did for a while OCAD was on hiatus in 2013.
President and high sorcerer of Nighthorse Media.
Why are you still here?
Yeah, that's the question I ask myself every day.
Fantastic. We also have David. David, you want to introduce yourself?
No, I do not.
Well, you have to do it anyway.
Oh, says who?
I do.
Says me.
Oh, President and Wizard Man.
And yeah. The Prime Minister, which is me.
You're not a Prime Minister.
I'm the President.
I didn't vote for you.
Logan's the President. I'm the Prime Minister. You're the Archduke.
I don't want to be Franz Ferdinand.
Too bad.
Anyway, my name is Brushfire. I originally got involved with Friday Night Fan Fiction a couple of weeks ago. It's my first time ever playing a video game. I'm really looking forward to this.
David's a co-creator of Overclocked After Dark, which was the original.
No, he's not. You can't prove that.
Yeah, I can. I can so prove it. He's been on the show since 2009, and we did this out of spite at first.
Yes, and now it's evolved into something so much more. In spite of somebody else, we're now in spite of ourselves.
Exactly. Spite, Sprite. I could go for a Sprite right now.
I have some alcoholic Sprite tonight.
Wonderful. Well, we'll go over the drinks everybody has in a minute.
What is that, like champagne?
No.
Champagne.
Champagne.
It's Mike's Harder Lemonade.
Of course.
It's like double champagne, sir. I'm hardcore.
Next up, we have Valerie.
Oh, my God. I go by the name of Vilecat, or Val. And I guess I was involved pretty early, and that's kind of what happens when you end up dating one of the co-founder of the show.
Ooh!
Ooh! Yeah, ooh. I slipped my way here.
I didn't vote for you.
She slept her way to the bottom of
gate.
She slept her way to the bottom of internet radio.
Oh, tragic.
Oh, at least I'm honest.
Next up, our other normal, well, now normal, newest member of the Night Horse crew, Roy Fortitude.
Hey, what's up? I'm Frozen Treasure. I'm here because I got sick of these guys fucking up all the time.
Yep. I voted for you.
Our first guest tonight is Steve Van Sickle.
Woo! I'm that guy. I started calling in to read terrible things.
Yep.
Why would you ever do that?
Well, you better leave now, because this is only good material from here on out.
100%. I'll introduce myself as well. I'm Steve-O, also known as Level 99. I'm the other co-founder outside of Devin and David that started Overclocked After Dark in 2009.
What the hell's a Devin?
He's about 130 pounds.
I think it's a slick golden penis or something to that effect.
No, I like
super slick gallo man.
I do believe that stray shopping carts tend to be attracted to it.
Yes. I'm the guy that knows all the audio tech, and I'm also the nagging Jewish mother.
Yeah. No, everyone's the nagging Jewish mother when they want to be really, really insensitive.
Yes, they do. Let me go through the spiel, Logan. I'll make it quick, and I'll never go through this in full again. You need to sound more like Marge.
Sound like an angry armadillo.
Logan Jugekins, the President Juge, Angry Armadillo Jenkins.
I'd vote for that.
I would vote for that, too. The basic premise of the show is we turn reading bad fanfiction into a drinking game. We dole out sections of fanfic to each reader, and during the reading, they have to read each line as it is written without taking excessive stops or misreading. Any mistakes result in a drink. We do have people who do not drink alcohol, so their limit is 5 glasses of whatever they choose to drink instead.
Oh, I can actually get a drink of water. I can get a bottle of water. I'll be right back.
Yes, go to instead before they're declared out. If anyone has to bow out in the middle of reading or their alcohol, non-alcohol limit is reached, Night Horse loses the evening. If we make it through with all people mostly intact, I guess, then we win. Commentary on the source material is allowed, but within limits as per the judgment of our referee, Valerie. She informs people when they drink and when they need to keep on reading. Tonight, we are going to start with our classic Mr. Comics Knicks.
Hooray!
Woo! Oh, what are we drinking? Tonight, I'm going to be drinking a multitude of things. I have Limbo IPA, which is an Indian Pale Ale. I have Wild Extra Pale Ale and 4/4 Harvest Fruit Cider. I think it's supposed to be cider, but they misspelled it.
I don't think IPA stands for India Pale Ale.
Indian.
No, it doesn't stand for that either.
What does IPA stand for?
India Pale Ale.
It's Indiana.
No.
I thought it stood for Independent Papa Ass.
IPA.
It's India Pale Ale.
I wanted to look up IPA, Peepa! Not iPad. Yes, it's India Pale Ale.
Peepa!
Not Indiana. Indiana Jones did not take a very angry piss in a bottle and then sell it.
Yes, he did. That's why they're all there.
Independent. All right, Independent Penis Association.
What else are people drinking? That.
Well, I have 3 cans of Mike's Harder Lemonade, 8% alcohol by volume. Pretty much a badass.
Wow.
Harder Lemonade.
Okay, just really quickly, I am waiting on an order of 165 proof private distilled goodness coming my way.
God, that's awesome.
I'm going to flavor it with Jolly Ranchers.
Oh my God, you're such a
brilliant man. I think that's what he meant to say.
Yeah, I agree, Logs. Thank you for the compliment.
While eating my delicious supper, yes, I say supper, which consisted of chicken nuggets, I finished my mead and it was delicious, so I'm stuck only with
surfboard.
Yeah, no, a longboard from Kona Brewing.
And I'm stuck on a band-aid because it's sticking.
Tonight I got a bottle of Tempranillo, 13.5%.
Booyah.
Classy. Logan, what beverage?
I am a non-drinker, so I shall be drinking some cider.
Ooh, sparkling cider or apple cider or what?
Apple.
Ooh, I love apples. You know, it is October and the weather just started turning, so this is the perfect time for cider.
Yep. Oh, dude, I can't wait for Christmas time for nog season.
No. You realize that you didn't even use the eggnog you bought and put in my fridge, and I had to throw it away 4 months after you left.
You left it in there for 4 months? What a turd.
Because it got pushed way to the back, and we didn't see it anymore until we cleaned the fridge. It's like,
I'm so sorry that your fridge is so full of food, you can't deal with things.
It's more like people dumped a whole bunch of like Yuengling cans in there, and it took us forever to finish them.
I'm so sorry. You have free alcohol forever.
Roy, I know.
I don't drink Yuengling.
You're gonna read first. All right, we're gonna begin with Cloud and Tifa Search for a New Heart by Comicsnix. If you'd like the public link, I have a Google Doc.
Then you don't know what you're in for yet.
Real quick, one last thing before we start, guys.
What is it, Dave?
The following fan fiction is rated M for mature, so put your kids to bed. They don't need to hear this.
I actually added that to our intro.
Oh,
but you can still do
to.
A new one anyway.
I want to do a new one every week.
That's fine. Nope. Oh, Logan says no, so I therefore have to say yes.
Oddly.
Both do it and don't do it. Also, Strong Bad just told me I have a text message.
What did everyone think of the new Homestar?
Oh,
it was quite good.
It was so good.
I sing that at work.
He hated Coach Z's new voice.
Does anyone have a fisheye lens filter for their for their webcam?
I do not.
I have a fisheye lens for my camera.
And that was actually a super special guest sending me a text saying he's running late, but he's still going to be on the show tonight.
Oh, I hope I know who it is.
Your new car!
Come on down!
Roy, there's your section to read. Cloud and Tifa Search for a New Heart by Comics.
Same bit that you highlighted in the Google Doc.
Yes.
Okay, I'll just read that because it's easy to read. Cloud and Tifa Search for a New Heart by Comicsnix. The author, colon. Hi, people. Long time no sir. Sorry for Brecknig promises, I swear, this time it's for real. New stories, Galaro, Evo, Fantasy, no, that's an L. I, Levo, Final Fantasy, maybe I write more about it. Good read, Nig.
And we get started.
It's been a while, guys. This is water.
I just drink.
It's been a
water
week.
In general. Cloud and Tifa search for a new heart. Cloud's is very sad. He lives now with Tifa, the boob's big lady, and she is gorgeous, no period, but she is sad too, because Ares is dead so long ago now. They, space, comma, space, Cloud and Tita, sometimes dreams about the bitful flower girl that you said to be so happy, space, comma, space, but now is death.
Yeah,
it's really sad when a beautiful flower girl is dead.
This sounds like a really poorly translated Greek tragedy.
And also oddly philosophical.
Yes,
it is sad when death.
It is sad when people are death.
Cloud, says Tifa, doing the loudenry with skimp skirt. Why Aerith is dead? Could we resurrect her with Phoenix materia?
Wow! Pointing out the plot hole every single person who played FF7 did the moment she died.
It's been so long,
and
she's going to be bloated.
Who didn't. Cloud is siatting, watching Super Bowl, with Duff Bear on his hand and drinking alcohocally.
I want to meet the Duff Bear.
I want to drink some alcohocally.
That's Ned Flanders' drink of choice. I got some alcohocally. He chokes on the drink and gasps with utter terror. How could I not have think of that? And he grasps Tufa. Is that a pure? No, that's dirt on my
Tufas.
Yep.
And he grabs Tufa's boobs and smiles. We can save Aerith's. This is, it's hard to really convey this in E. He puts a robe and picks the Buter sword.
It is supposed to be Buster sword, but it's Buter sword.
Buter.
Tifa. Come, we go resurrect Eris.
Yep.
Tifa got very wet. Why?
Right there.
It's a good way to. It's a good punchy start to the sentence. Tifa got very wet because when Aerith was alive, they used to approach with 1P their vaginas and grind them in each other. It's not gay, she said when Red Z saw. So
no,
he joined
red
13.
It's not 13. It would be 14.
It's
yeah.
14, and it has to be capitalized to count as Roman numerals.
So he, it's like the more stupid version of Red X from DC Comics. Yeah. So he joined the fray, but that is a history for another day.
Aww.
So we can look forward to the upcoming Comicsnix fan fiction where he details how they approached their vaginas and grinded them in each other. Tifa then picked Premu Heart, the ultimate weapon.
Oh my god, that is the worst misspelling of weapon I've ever seen.
What are you talking about? It's perfect.
And weird it. Cloud got Freight Ned. Freight like a freight train. Tifa, where is your materia? Will, 1L, you not use it? No, Cloud. Zagan teach me how to do magic with only Mix's martial arts.
Teach me to how to do.
Are you sure we should have started with the comics, Nick? Shouldn't we have eased in with like a Peter Chimera or something?
This is like nostalgia, except with shit.
Shit nostalgia?
No, Cloud. Zagan teach me to how to do magic with only Mix's martial arts. So I wear black belt now. Okay. Open quotes, okay, comma, said, space, close quotes, Cloud. So he grabs Boobs Tifa one more time. Her name is Boobs Tifa, apparently.
Yep. It's like Sonic Cock.
Or it's like the evolution of Sonic Cock. Cloud, go up on a big motorcycle made of materia, thunder, fire, and Bahamut.
Awesome.
Missing the Oxford comma there. And Tifa, go Bahing. Bahamut motorcycle, take us to Ancient City. Eris Diad.
Yes, my ma'am. So Bahamut, motorcycle, goes flying into outer space to catch Brow. Because this Suman is special.
Oh, now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Is there a single, hang on, like of the people listening, either live or later on, please tell us if you understand what's going on. If you can make sense of what's happening. If you can't, I can.
All right. Let me bring it down for you real quick.
Okay.
What we need to know first and foremost that Boobs Tifa is the crux of this story. Her interplay with Cloud and the Black Belt, as well as the motorcycle that goes into space made of magic rocks and thunder and vomit, are all making it to Ancient City to find Aerith's Dyad.
Okay.
Dyad, Aerith, buddy.
I think, David, one of the things you missed is that the grapsing of the boobs is an integral part. The action of grapsing signifies how closely knit these two characters are.
See, Steve, I disagree with you. I don't feel the grap scene of the boobs signifies the closeness. Okay. I feel it's more of a way of Cloud to shield his former self from the dangers that lie before him.
I think we're just procrastinating. Logan, please continue.
I think it's just a way to end a paragraph.
I think it's important to note that since starting, I have finished my cider and have now graduated to instead eating an entire cookie pie.
Yes!
Oh, God.
Oh.
I went through, like, I don't know, quarter of my bottle of water.
Okay.
Cloud uses a helmet to protect against vacuum, but Tifa don't. Tifa, you shock to death without helmies. No, Cloud. Zagna teach
you don't
me
want to catch the helmies.
No, Cloud. Zagna teach me to maintain air inside lungs with martial arts in space.
In space!
Episode title, Martial Arts in Space.
We don't have episode titles anymore.
I know.
Why can't we?
We don't, because the titles are the fan fictions we read.
The title of my new single is Martial Arts in Space.
Dude, I've listened to that album so hard. Holy shit. Hey, man, did you hear that new Martial Arts in Space album?
Yeah, Cookie, so Cookie Pie was the best song on that album.
I can actually already imagine an actual I Fight Dragons single called Martial Arts in Space. Get easy, because I'm going to head off to see you guys. I'm going to pick
up. Okay, my dear love, spelled like the animal. And Cloud grabs boobs again. Tifa is starting to lactate, but they are in outer space. The milk frozes instantly.
Of course.
Cloud, my lover, do you want milk popsicle?
Popsicle.
drinks. Oh, God, drinks.
I would like a milk popsicle.
Yes, I'll suck it till your boobies come another time. So Cloud,
2 L's, yep,
starts sucking Tifa milk, and she gets wetter and wetter.
Bahamut
feels Tifa's wet vagina, so he protrudes a boner.
Doing.
Bahamut, that's very unwelcoming of you, says Tifa, masturbating Cloud with her mega powerful fists of Lady Fire. Okay, we gotta get Lady Wildfire up in here.
She's not here, but
you only must be perverted in front of your own lady. Sorry, Tifa. Choco Mog. Not Choco Mog. Choco Mog abandoned me a long ago.
Yep.
So I have no sexual partners.
No, partainers.
Partainers. From that time till today. Sorry to hear that, Bahamu.
It's too hard to that.
Fuck. My mouth already so full, but okay.
So take a second to chew and there's swallow.
There's the second album of Martial Arts in Space right there. My mouth is so full.
With guest artist Choco Mog.
Yep.
I'd listen to it.
I think the puppy.
Sorry to heart that, Bahamu, says Tifa, crying and blowing Claude Striff's cocks. Find a beautiful Simona so you can sex with her ass.
I've always wanted a beautiful Simona.
Also, I didn't know that Claude had cocks, like many. Yeah.
Claude Striff. Thanks, Tifa. You are the best. So Bahamut re-enters Atmosphere and goes inside City Ancients. Cloud and Tiefs go to the water where Aerith's decomposing body is entombed. So they summon Phoenix.
Phoenix!
About them.
Bootum!
You live. Yes, Meister Cloud. But before that, could you tell me who our charming black dragon is, please?
Thank you for reading, Cookie Mog. Oh, Bahamut! He is a good guy. He is my moor cycle, too. And a perverted summon that likes to do anal. Would you leak to mimit him? Yes, my vagina plumage is getting very wet thinking about the kindest of sexual perversions he would cause to me.
Okay!
And Claude goes and makes summon Bahamuts and feet. God damn it.
Drink, little piggy. Drink it up.
Bahamut and Fanks, a couple, putting them into linked slots inside his armor accessory. Okay, so that's how the sex works with it. Put them in different adjacent slots. Also, what did you link?
Adjacent slots.
And that was plumage.
Oh, okay, Funks. Brings Aerith to live.
Live.
Yes, Maester.
No, Maester.
Damn it. Yes, Maester. Thenix, you very much. And Phoenix kisses Cloud on the cheekbones, and he gets red and protrudes a boner. Oh no, Cloud, you are a zoophile! Excrements with excitement, Tifa.
No, yep. Thank you.
It wasn't what I just read, it was what I am about to read. While she gargles Cloud's recently expelled white hot cum. No! And Phoenix go and cast the summon to resurrect errors.
No, resurrect.
That's what I said. I pronounced each S individually. The full lake of water goes pretty white and twirls with tornadoes of white. A body under the water goes up on the air while everyone's wastes the miraculous affection happying.
Affectation?
Did I say it right?
No.
Affection.
Drinking a skunky pale ale is one of the worst experiences in the world. Aerith's theme starts to play in the background. Clouds hot cum in her mouth, gargling. How she's gargling that hot cum. Aerith is getting too lifey. Screams
Aerith is getting too lifey.
Screams Tifa, shilinking her vagina, opening with martial arts fingers. She is
tell me
having
what shilinking means.
Shilinking?
I think it's shlinking.
Like, no, it's supposed shlicking. To be slick. Like slick. It's like the female equivalent to fap.
She is having a extended orgasm. You know, throughout all of the spelling issues and mispronunciations, everything, the fact that there's no an and it's an A before another vowel word, that gets to me. Oh, Tifa, I leak your boobs.
No, they're just leak your boobs.
No, you're emphasizing it wrong. Drink.
Fuck you, Cookie Mooch. Screams Cloud with happy neighs while he sucks both Tifa's boobs. Aerith's body then starts to get visible from all the clouds and mists and white. She is appearing. She is appearing. She is appearing. And then Oh, no! Screams in unison both Clow and Tifa, while their male and female boners get shrinked because of emotion. Why have you awakened me?
Why you have?
I'm switching to the mead. Why you have awakened me, you fools? Screams with Diablo voice, the resurrected Aeris. I was living with Zack and making babies in the underworld. You fuckers! And Aeris starts to vomit balloons and urine through the anus.
You shouldn't be vomiting out of your own anus.
Yeah, it's just not right.
You should see a doctor.
What have I done? Scream Cloyd, having a spazier. That is one of the... You know what? I'm going to say spazier from now on when people are flipping out for no reason.
Stop having a spazier, man.
Tifa was so perplexed by the Aeris reaction that she fisted herself and punched her womb.
Wow. Oh my god.
And next up is David.
Ouch. Aerith's body is covered with shit. Her boobs were holoweed, out and filled with maggots that vomit penises made of yellow diarrhea. Her vagina acquired many venereal diseases and is pulsating blood and bullshit.
He vagina. It's diceses.
Oh, it is he vagina. Oh, God. He vagina acquired many venereal diseases and pulsating blood and.
No, it's diceses.
Diceses? I did say diceses first. All right. Aeri, you're very ugly, says Cloud, sacking his butt. Tifa says, please forgive us for doing this to you and taking you away from your dead lover, Zack, and your beautiful babies you had while living a life after death inside Mako, or could that be the live stream?
Could be that the live stream.
Could.
Fuck.
I know.
No, could be that the live stream.
It fucks you up so easily.
Fuck. All right. Bat in 1,000. Soothop! Now you will suffer my fury! Screams Aeris, vomiting shit and poop. She is angry.
Oh, you think?
So Aeris pick a Tifa first and penetrates Tifa's vagina, capitalized.
Tifa's vagina? I would have liked it with like a trademark symbol or a copyright.
With her skeleton hands and tickles her erogenous zones
Shit! Erogenous.
Her erogenous G-spot till she comes. Stop, Aerith! I'm heterosexual! No. You are a little slut full of boobies! Man,
she's
how
hungry.
The hell do you say that?
I fear.
Aether. While Aether fists Tifa, she picks up a strap-on that was lying around a put-on.
Of course.
Laying around.
And proceeds to buttfuck Cloud Virgin arsehole. No! Yes!
Best
so Cloud ass.
Ever.
So Cloud ass starts to drip blood from his hemorrhoids, and he feels very sad. No, Aeris, I don't like anal sex. Fuck you, you piece of sheet. No, fuck you. No, fuck you. And Aeris continues butt fucking Cloud and fingering Tifa while they exchange expletives.
Expletives.
While all this while this all happens, Bahamuti and Phoenix are looking all the sex and tears.
Oh, Bahamut, don't all this look so sexy to you?
Yes, Phonix. It's very sensuous.
Yes, Hooked on Phonix. It's very nice.
Let's fuck. And Bahamut and Phoenix make sex. Cloud's wrist starts to shake with all that movement inside his accessory. So inside his accessory.
No, it's accessory.
Accessory. I took a drink. Whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
After some time, everybody starts to get really sore. You thought I was going to mess that one up. I didn't mess it up.
I'm getting bored, Cloud, says Tifsa. When will it end? I don't know, Tifa, utters Cloud with death's interest. Maybe soon. And Aeris continues this all the night. Cloud and Tifa even fell asleep and dreamed about things.
Oh, wow, things.
Not things.
The next day, Aeris was dead.
Yay!
Thank God, Cloud. I was starting to think I would get traumatized, said Tifa with a brief smile on her feces.
No, it's brief.
Oh, it is brief. A brief smile on her feces.
Oh, she's got a classy cup, too.
Yes, Tifa, maybe Eris was kinda of a dick. A metaphorical plastic dick. So Cloud gives his hand to Tifa, and they both walk towards the sun dawning the morning.
Yay! The
end. So she became a lossless image format.
She became a metaphorical plastic dick.
Wonderful. Applause all around.
Hooray!
Yay!
That was short.
Yes, I know. That's why we have a mystery fanfic lined up for right afterward.
I gotta say, the dismount on that fanfic was not very good. Comics Nicks, you need to step up your game, PlayStation.
Yeah, but...
Also, I'm getting weird looks from my audience.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, next up we have One Different Step by Sabs, which is a Kim Possible fanfic.
Is it the Fuda fanfic?
I don't know. It might be.
Oh boy, penis girls are the best!
And
I hope it's not, so that you can be sad.
Logan, Steve, Van Sickle.
Disclaimer. I, the author, state, I do not own the cartoons that this fanfiction is based on, nor any of the characters from it. I do not own the Kim Possible fandom, or make any money from writing this story. Disclaimer. I do not own the cartoon that this fan fiction is written for, nor any of the characters from it. I do not make any profit from the writing of this story. Kim God, I would Possible. Hope not. I also love how he, you know, made a proper name of the Kim Possible fandom, because, you know, somebody owns a fandom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kim Possible, One Different Step. Kim lay there. She was tired. School had taxed her to the max, and she had a mountain of homework. She looked at the books piled on her desk and sighed. The day was far from over. Her communicator beeped, filling the room with its perky little chime. She reached over and grabbed it from her table. She flipped it open and waited for Wade to show his round little face. Instead, though, she got the shock of her life. It was Shigo?
Yeah, that's right.
That's okay. The girl.
It was Shigo.
The one that's green.
Shigo! She was stunned and sat up immediately. What? Hi, Kimmy. Expecting someone else like this guy. Suddenly, the camera panned down and around to show Wade tied up to a chair looking really nervous.
Not even say, like, Kim looked around and saw Wade. The camera panned down and around and to show Wade.
Well, yeah, he's using the camera of the transmitter or whatever.
I'm drinking for the fact that an author is using a camera as a third-person explorative.
You mean how cameras are used?
Yeah.
In film, not in written text.
Steve-O, they're using communicators. It has a camera to see some, you know, to be able to see the other person.
Okay, well then I just am too drunk.
Yeah, already? It's pretty much affirmative.
We're off to a wonderful start.
A wild cap has appeared. Hello, everyone.
Hey!
Hello.
Hello, I'm Cap from Nerdy Show.
Hi, yeah. Cap from Nerdy Show. Cap. You missed our first fanfic, which was Cloud and Tifa Search for a New Heart, a very terrible Final Fantasy VII fanfiction where Cloud and Tifa got skeleton anal fisted.
I read a little bit of it.
Tifa.
So we've moved on to One Different Step, which is a Kim Possible fanfic.
Man, Kim Possible's got to be in like the upper echelon top 10 animated series from the past 20 years. Turned in Rule 34 on a regular daily basis.
Hell yeah. So,
this is no surprise.
Shigo, if you have, Kim said angrily, hurt him? Nah, not yet. But you can win his freedom in a one-on-one duel with, ahem, me. Kim was extremely curious as to why she was doing this. Why, Shigo? Because I want to see which one of us is the best. I've run enough from you. It's time for a catfight of monumental proportions.
I've never heard a female call it a legit catfight.
Of monumental proportions, no less. Mm-hmm. She grinned and Kimmy knew she was up to something. Here's where to come. Don't be late. Shigo suddenly disappeared and a map appeared. Kim knew the place. It was just going to take her a bit to get there. Later, Kim rolled gently to a stop. She could feel the heat coming off her rocket boots. It would be a few minutes before she could remove them safely. She knew this place. It was a popular hangout years ago for kids, until insurance costs drove the owners to close the place.
Yeah.
It was cool. You could jump into ball pits, slide down huge slides, and there was an awesome DJ almost every night. You could sort of be a kid again without looking like a geek.
this place rocked. Then the fun ended.
When Discovery Zone got shut down.
The bite of 87.
I'm riveted.
She sat down on a drum and removed her skates. Then she put on her shoes. She was nervous. Something about the way Shigo presented herself had her on edge. She entered into the building by a side entrance. The door looked as though it had been jimmied. The large building was lit up in more or less the center of the place, putting a spotlight on what looked like a ring of sorts. As she grew closer, she saw it was indeed a huge ring, but one very different than she had seen before. It had high sides and was filled with a very low level of clear liquid. She had no idea what it was. She was puzzled.
It sounds like a pool.
Of something. She looked around, but couldn't see Wade anywhere. Not to mention Shigo. Then, if on cue, she heard her voice.
Well, you surely took your time,
Shigo said. Her voice echoed throughout the building. Okay, so. Well, if I had a license and a car, I could have been here sooner.
Ah, there is that.
Suddenly, a light shone up on a platform above her, and she could see Shigo clearly with Wade beside her.
Let him go!
Kim shouted.
No, not until we had our little bout.
Shigo flipped through the air and into the center of the ring. Kim noticed one thing different about Shigo. She had on a one-piece swimsuit.
Oh, baby.
One that really didn't fit her at all.
Oh?
Then, with lightning reaction, she caught something that Shigo threw at her. She looked at her hand and found that it was a swimsuit like her.
Oh.
You might want to put that on, unless you want to fight me, naked.
She left for quite some time, then stopped when she saw Kim not moving. Well, put it on!
Shigo, what is this? Duh, it's a swimsuit!
I know that.
Duh.
But why? Ah, well,
We're going to.
Drink.
Don't leave us hanging!
Steve-O
No, we're not going to drink.
Steve-O is drinking because he stopped. We're going to oil wrestle.
Oh, baby.
And doing it with clothes is, well, really messy.
Oil wrestle!
Kim said in shock. Yes.
Oh, I love doing this. I used to do this for a living before I met Draken. Ah, the femme butts I kicked.
That'll be the name of her memoirs. The femme
the
butts,
femme
I've
butts
kicked.
I kicked.
Yep.
I don't know about this. Well, if you want your little chubby buddy there. Well, if you want your little chubby buddy there released, you better put that suit on and get into this ring. Kim didn't know what to do. Shago had her on this one, and now it seemed she was on her turf. Kim knew that the only way she was going to rescue Wade was to engage Shago. Kim stood in front of Shago. Her suit was loose and baggy like hers. Seems you misjudged my size, Kim said, pulling on the loose suit.
Can you give Kim a much more manly voice, please?
Oh, no, not by a long shot. If at all, they might be too small, but we'll see if I can wrestle nude if
there's
I
no
wear.
If.
Ah! Let me see if I can do a manly voice for him. Ah,
what are you talking about, Shago?
Okay, I'll let you in on the secret now. She opened her hand, and in it were three rings. Recognize these? Kim's eyes went wide. She knew exactly what they were.
Those are the instant muscle rings.
This sounds like something out of Choaniki.
You got it, Kimmy. And guess what they work on just for us gals.
There's no on. I'm going to make a gift for cookie time.
You got it, Kimmy. And guess what? They work just as well for us gals. She then tossed one of the rings out into the oil.
What did you do that for?
Here's the catch. She tossed another ring. What did you do that for? Here's the catch. She tossed another ring at Kim, which she easily caught. You see, Kimmy, we are each going to put on one of these rings on. I think I messed up there somewhere, but whatever. That will even us up, but that other ring will tip the tide and make one of us a super muscular maiden. From there, it goes on to defeat and, well, my victory. Ahem. Well, there is a chance you might win, she giggled. Kim was shocked. She remembered what the ring did to Ron.
You can't be serious. You've seen what that thing does.
Next up is the lovely Cap.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see these muscles wrestle in my mind's eye. Ooh, yeah. Nice big muscles. Always wanted some more. This way, I'll get lots more. She grinned and put the ring on her finger. It adjusted to her finger, then activated. She felt a tingle all through her body, right down her spine, and including her nether region.
Oh, God.
She moaned. For that felt really good.
And the entire
good.
Call has to drink.
Okay.
Then she noticed her chest quickly expanding. Her breast became hard and firm. Her nipples became hard as rock and made a considerable indentation in the now taut swimsuit. Her arms flared out and her biceps grew rounder. This was power, and it felt good. Her legs swelled to almost twice their size. She flexed them, watching the muscle grow taut below the skin. She felt almost indestructible. She trembled inside, and her flat stomach now became rippled with a washboard of highly discernible muscle. She ran her hand over the bumps, then suddenly she became wet between the legs. She just had an orgasm, much to her delight.
Oh my God.
That was quick.
Well, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in his book on gaining muscle mass, he said that, or maybe it was in the documentary, I can't recall.
Oh,
but
the coming
it was in the documentary. He said lifting was like coming.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I heard you say that.
Kim just stared at the massive form of Shigo before her. She was huge everywhere. The muscles she could see rippling as Shigo flexed, just her trying out her new body. She didn't know what to do. She thought about fleeing. Oh, his little Kimmy of weight, Shigo taunted. Not on your life, Kim said in anger, and put the ring on her finger. She felt it adjust to her dainty finger. Then the tingling began, so much that she fell to her knees. Her insides felt on fire, but it was more like a passion for something. Then she felt the tremors. Her eyes opened wide. She was having multiple orgasms. She couldn't believe it. Her chest expanded, and so did her breasts. She was getting huge. She could feel her nipples and how sensitive they were now that they were pushed up into the silky fabric of the suit. She felt all powerful, and she wanted it to go on. The suit grew taut, and it pushed against her clit and sent a jolt right through her entire being. She was in heaven. She looked at her arms grow bigger and bigger. She was almost now equal in size to Shigo. This was not going.
This was indeed going.
Ah, drinky time.
Because of your reading, I now am really interested in hearing Stan Lee narrate a softcore porn.
Oh, that can be arranged. In a kind of creepier than Stan Lee kind of way. This was going to indeed be a battle of the Titans, true believers. Well, that's if their huge tits get in the way. She reached up and felt them. They were rock hard. She rubbed her finger across one of her nipples and felt a tremendous rush of electric current through her vagina. Not unlike the electric current of Electro, who I created for Spider-Man, who's one of my special characters. Another fantastic orgasm overtook her.
Is this
more exciting than Stripperella?
This is getting me so hard.
It's hardening my arteries, I'll tell you that much. Aren't those orgasms great? Kimmy! Shigo grinned. All Kim could do was moan. This was beyond fantastic. They'll wear off in a minute. Then we can get down and oily. She watched as Kim had several more tremors go through her new muscular body. One thing Shigo noticed was that Kim was more vascular than she was. A sign of true power, Shigo thought. All those veins pumping vital fluid to the massive arms and legs that Kim now possessed. Finally, Kim and Shigo stood in front of each other, ready for each one to make a move. You're out of your league now, Kimmy Poo. I can whip your butt any day, Shigo, whether I have muscles or not. Well, when I get that other ring, you won't have any muscle, or it won't look like it compared to me. Then Shigo made her move and dived toward the ring.
Ding, ding.
Bravo, that was absolutely stellar, Cap. Oh, holy shit.
Thanks, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
I enjoy this perhaps too much.
No.
It was perfect.
That was perfect. And
it was beautiful. Beautiful.
David.
Oh, it's my turn. I get to do the spot.
You're so hungry for it. I can hear it.
Ah, yes.
Oh, he has no idea what's coming now.
Hurry the fuck up, all right? Seriously. I'm nursing a half chub here. I'm almost semi.
How do you nurse a half chub? What do you just use two fingers? You
slap it with your hand. That's how.
Yeah, you're just like, meh, meh, meh. Kim had seen her twitch and intercepted her. They both fell on the rings. Oh, shit.
Yeah, head right.
I know, but I stumbled. They both fell on the ring's floor and were promptly covered in oil. It was slick and slippery, but in some erotic way, it felt wondrous. They wrestled with each other, neither seeming to gain an edge until Shigo got her hand down Kimmy's crotch.
Down by.
Shit. Mm-hmm. Down by Kimmy's crotch. I bet I can make you squirm.
Oh my, is that the voice you're gonna go for Shigo?
That's right. She wonderful. Fingered Kimmy's pussy until Kimmy moaned out loud, bucking her pelvis against Shigo's hand. That's a good Kimmy, then come for Shigo. Oh. Kimmy moaned as Shigo didn't let up. Close parentheses for no reason. Kim then wait.
The quote.
It's a quote for no reason.
You can tell he's jerking off at this point.
I am not, dude. I ain't got my hands down my pants.
Not you, the author.
Oh, okay. I ain't even got my hands down my pants, bro.
I'm leaving.
Look, I don't get off on muscle girls. I get off on penis girls, but not muscle girls, all right?
So why do you have your...
I don't have my hands down my pants. They're on my knees. Because that's an erogenous zone.
What about a muscly fooda?
Kim then thought that two could play the same game, and she began to fondle Shigo's enlarged nipples.
They were the size of grapefruits.
She had hit the spot as Shigo halted her assault on Kim's pussy.
Assault on Kim's pussy sounds like a
Kim, run my tits! It was a guttural moan, a deep desire that Shigo was expressing to her. She flipped Shigo onto her back with ease. It was as if Shigo wanted her to. Shigo's chest was heaving as Kim continued to rub her nipples faster and faster. Suddenly, Shigo raised her pelvis and screamed in a primordial scream of pure ecstasy.
Oh,
thank you, Chewbacca.
What, that isn't a primordial scream of pure ecstasy?
I don't fucking know.
All right.
I don't go to clubs. She continued to pant as Kim continued to rub her tits through the fabric of the tight, oily swimsuit. Just out of reach was the ring Kim saw, and she leaped from Shigo's chest to try to acquire it. It proved successful as she had the ring briefly, but a great push from Shigo made her lose her grip of it.
Easy come, easy go,
Shigo grinned.
Oh, thanks for the release. This body seems to be getting hardier.
Sounds like a side effect of the ring. They're not natural.
I don't care. With the orgasms I'm getting, I wish I had a few more of these things to wear.
I know, but Shigo, we have to take these things off before we lose control of ourselves.
No way!
Shigo dived again for the ring, but again Kim intercepted. Far above them, all Wade could hear was the odd shrill of screaming. But it wasn't noises of pain. It was noises of passion. He cursed the fact that he was blindfolded. Kim had done it. She had pinned Shigo with one had.
And with
she
one.
What? Oh, shit.
And with one had.
Kim had done it. She had pinned Shigo and with one had. She was able to reach the ring.
Shigo struggled hard to try to free herself, and it worked, but Kim had already put the other ring on. Shigo watched in utter amazement the transformation that was occurring before her. Kim's suit was ripping from almost every direction. Her breasts were expanding exponentially, and her nipples were spraying milk out in every direction.
All right, I'm done. I came three times.
Delicious. Her legs doubled, then quadrupled in size. Veins bulged out on every side of them, trying to continually supply them.
Oh my god, she's turning into Akira.
Or some sort of believable Hulk. Kim was shaking and moaning so loud that it was almost a roar.
Roar!
Her hand was now placed firmly between her legs, rubbing her clit for all it was worth. Her vagina spewed forth what seemed gallons of sticky love juice. Kim couldn't control herself. She screamed out for more as her hand tried furiously to get her off.
Can I go now?
All right.
Hooray for socks.
So I got this here. This is starting with Shigo Had a Fantasy.
Shigo had a fantasy.
Shigo had a fantasy. And now she was going to do it. She ran over to Kim, who was on her knees, trying desperately to get herself off. She was now twice the size she once was and seemed to be still growing. But it didn't matter. Shigo knew what she was going to do. She knelt down and put her hand on Kim's pussy. Fuck. Get ready for a ride, Kimmy. With a powerful thrust, Shigo shoved her whole hand into Kim's sopping pussy. Kim screamed and pounded her fist on the ground. Shigo obliged by shoving more of her hand and arm into Kimmy. Up into Kimmy. Drinky, drink, drink.
Someone's got a drink. That's pretty much what I feel right now.
That's the sound that her vagina made.
Ew, her vagina let out a queef and a sick gargling.
Oh, we're prophetic now. Friday Night Fan Fiction, your new soothsayers.
Oh, he's just self-inserting.
Yeah.
With his whole hand and arm.
Yeah, well, if you can self-insert the hand and the arm, good on you. That's contortionist shit there. She had always wanted to fist a girl, and now she was doing it to her nemesis and loving every minute of it. She pounded Kim's pussy in and out and in and out, her arm slick with Kim's love juices. Then finally Kim's pelvis shook as the most powerful orgasm overcame her. The pressure within Kimmy was so great that it blew Shigo's arm right out of her.
Bloosh.
Wow.
Gross.
By a stream of sticky, sweet love nectar.
Kim's pelvis shattered immediately.
Seven were hospitalized today as two giant women were seen at the side of a ring. The only witness who was blindfolded said it was sounded like two cats screeching in terror. There were no survivors.
Autopsy suggests drowning in sweet love nectar.
Ew. Wait. Who did the song Hot Sticky Sweet?
I'm hot, sticky, sweet. That's from Def my head Leopard. Down to my feet. Yeah.
Death Leopard cannot Def be Leopard. Reached for comment.
Steve Vinsicle, please, for the love of God, finish the song.
Oh, Shigo couldn't believe it. She stood up to see that Kim had passed out. She gently then went over and removed the two rings from Kim's hand. Slurp. She watched as Kim's body sort of deflated from its massive
Wait,
form.
Hold on.
Yeah. There now was her young nemesis, a fragile thing, but with the will and determination matched, really, by no one. In the end, it had been fun. She had hoped it would be. It was like old times when she did this for money. Now all she had was Draken. She sighed. Kim awoke to Wade yelling. She felt exhausted as she sat up. She also felt very sore. Sore where she really shouldn't. Then it came to her what had happened. She looked around for Shigo, but couldn't find her. As she stood, she saw it, the ring, but it now was on a chain around her neck.
She didn't understand. She got out of the ring to find her clothes, for she was completely naked now and covered in oil.
The oven was set to 350 degrees.
On her clothes, she found a note. Dear Kimmy Poo, seems it was a draw. We'll have to do this again. Love, Shigo.
Why is he strong sad?
I'll get the second ring next time.
When?
The end?
As if people are clamoring for a sequel.
There is a sequel.
There is a sequel.
And we're reading it later this season.
Oh, no. My big dumb mouth.
You and your big dumb mouth. Well, it's 9:16. We've got enough time to read one more short fiction. What do you guys think?
Oh.
I'm up for it.
You're up for it? Let's read something by Aeogrus.
Oh, you want to do Rocket Raccoon?
Sure.
I don't want to do Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon and Gazan, a passion that transcends the limits of thee.
Can I go first? I don't think my fragile mind can take any more of this.
Nope, you don't get to go first.
Dave, you do not get to go first.
You mean that you don't find yourself lusting over Rocket's narrow kind of raccoon penis?
Look. I frequent some subreddits, man. And then, like, when Guardians of the Galaxy came out and people were like, Rocket Raccoon, I want to do him. I'm like, no, he's a fucking raccoon. Come on.
The only subreddit I frequent is Ask a Shitty Doctor.
Also, Shitty Ask Science is good.
This is Rocket Raccoon and Gazan, a passion that transcends the limits of thee by Aeogrus. Rocket was very sad. Even though the fame and glory of being a hero still resonated within his brain, the will of the people was very bad. They would never tolerate a cybernetically enhanced carnivorian mammal of much bigger heart and Sardinian words. To make matters worse, Groot did not regenerate. His twigs were captured by the Skrull, and they made experiments on it, masturbating to his torment and death with much pleasure.
Yeah.
Don't you remember the plot?
Made experiments on it. I get more euphemisms from this show from it than anything.
You know what? I'm drunk, but I'm not drunk enough to deal with this.
So he takes a hit from a bong instead.
It was a very awful day for the Procyonid.
Procyonid?
Procyonid.
That is, in fact, the technical term.
Yep.
That's the, I believe, the family. Yep.
So he cried and vomited blood with much grief. Okay.
Why does everyone vomit and blood all over the place?
I'm noticing a theme here between all the fanfics we've read tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It was full of... God damn it! Why do they have to include these kinds of fucking terms?
Drepanocystosis.
Yep. Drepanocystosis.
Drepanocystosis.
No, it's cytosis.
Drepanocytosis and amalgamous lustful pus.
I don't remember what that word means. I'm going to Google it.
Oh, Jack Kirby, why? Robert.
Robert the cat.
There.
Yeah, you are drunk.
Please don't be sick in bed.
Oh, so drepanocytosis is sickle cell disease.
Are you fucking kidding me?
How about that?
I'm not. And it's spelled correctly.
Okay, Robert. Oh, Jack Kirby, why? Rocket cried to the heavens in angst and prettiness cascades of tears. Oh, Rocket, why don't you let me orally sexualize you? Moaned Gamora.
Hooray!
Moaned Gamora evilly and sluttily. WTF, aren't you with Quill? I was, but then I got bored because he is anal fetish shit of Unanity Calibre, plus I am female character... in Marvel movie, so I must be slut.
Uh-huh.
I'm really confused about
anal fetish shit.
Hey, that works.
like this author gets like these huge words and all this jazz. Like maybe English is a second language. I don't know. The pieces, like there's a certain knowledge there, but it also seems like it's not. It can't be done. Bad on purpose because a sane person cannot write anal fetish shit.
No, but, it feels like Comics Nick Syndrome where it's like it's an Indian med school student, so they know the technical terms, but they're not familiar with the normal conversation.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
He's going to the Doctoral University of Calcutta. Fuck off! Gamora went away crying, and deep down inside, Rocket felt worse. So he went to the hangar, get it, of the ship, and prepared the noose. This went dark really fast.
As if sickle cell wasn't an indication.
Tying it around his raccoon fuzzy neck. Goodbye, cruel world! And then he dead.
Yay!
Well, that was a good fanfic. Knowing that we did good here today.
We did the world a service today. But suddenly, something amazing happened. The noose was actual Asgardian technology, so it got him revived. Further still, it opened a dimensional portal, and he was thrown through it, through the vacuum of the multiverse. He fell down screaming as he saw horrible things, like ducks with boobies, and
damn those birds,
and evil spider scorpions possessing scientists.
See, this is really aware, because it's directly referencing not just the famous duck tit sequence from Howard the Duck, but also the I forget what he was called, but the thing that Jeffrey Jones turns into at the end of the film.
Yeah.
The Master of Darkness or something like that. I mean, like, that's pretty aware. And Howard the Duck is a multiversal character. I don't know. There's something going on here.
So this is canon.
It wishes it was.
Then he met his destination, and it was dark and humid like a sack of murky beef.
Amazing!
Rocket much didn't like, so he clawed his way out of the substance. When he emerged, he was in the middle of a large green throne room. Oh my fucking god! The queen had a raccoon inside!
Oh god!
Screamed Plea in horror. Rocket looked, and indeed, he noticed that he came out of the belly of an ugly and suffocated queen.
On an ugly.
Slurp. Slurp.
He was covered in blood, bile, and intestine shit. Good job. Soaking his fur like a red-brown coat of misery. Well, looks like we're absolved of the guilt of murder, Zaheer concluded anarchically? Is that right?
Yep.
What if it's her ultimate form? Gazan quipped scaredly. Rocket looked towards his voice and saw a very attractive Asian man.
Dang!
With all of the words he's used thus far, just stating somebody as a very attractive Asian man completely threw me off. With long, flowy hair and insipid mustache like the caterpillars of an evil butterfly that can only be found in the silky forest of the mountaintops of nightmare.
Wow. There you go.
Well, there I go as I am gone because I am done.
Done.
David.
Okay.
Why, hello there, sexy!
Rocket moaned with much passion and sardonic pessimism. Oh, you can talk? Asked Ming Hua jealously.
Yeah, why shouldn't I? I'm a genetic abomination!
Cried Rocket sadly, crouching his knees and raising his arms, pleading to the ceiling.
Yeah, why shouldn't I? I'm an abomination.
Okay, I read that. Shit, I gotta drink again, man.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Were you created by the queen? Asked Zaheer, curiously.
Curiosity.
That's not a word.
Hey.
All right. I'm just saying it's not a word. All right. Want everybody to know.
It's
not a word.
No, I was sent here by a dimensional portal. I need to find another one to go back home.
Well, that will have to wait. We have to liberate Ba Sing Se. You can go with Gazan to blow up the wall while we go to the radio. Rocket nodded. He loved to blow and up and shit. God damn it. He loved to blow. Rocket loved to blow up and destroy things. That set up his mood. So he and Gazan left the halls while Ming Hua made him the black eye. Gazan looked very confused, but interested in this fuzzy Proxion mammal. I said Proxion.
Whatever.
Fucking get off my dick. Procyon mammal of a terrible past.
And.
Shit. Of an terrible past and bad complications. So Rocket enjoyed. So, what are we. Fuck.
Such a weird point.
So, what were you guys doing before I came in?
Asked Rocket quizzically.
Well, we killed the Earth Queen. She was very mad and bad monarch who oppressed the citizenry for decades.
So we had to kill her.
So you're like a... Shit! So you're a rebel group or something.
Sort of. Look, I can't tell you all the details, because that could compromise our mission. Sorry.
Rocket nodded and saw that Gazin was really sorry for not telling him his secrets. So he decided to talk about something else. They were getting out of the palace, and everything was green with sunshine and rainbows.
Ooh, talking raccoon!
An hysterical woman screamed. She was evil. Rocket got depressed, and Gazin saw, so he melted the rocks under her and made her burn to death.
Wow! You can make lava?
Yeah, I'm a special earthbender.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah!
You don't have benders where you're from?
No, unless you count North Star and Wiccan.
That's strange. Well, a bender is someone who can control and shape the elements. I can control Earth, like this.
Gazin made the rock pillar erect from the
ground. Then made a rock pillar.
Shit!
The circle.
Gazin then made a rock pillar erect from the ground and shaped it into the statue of a bouquet of flowers. Rocket blushed and approved. The two of them walked into the train station where an evil man was
vigilating.
In public?
You can't bring pets onto the train.
No. Dave, welcome to my world.
You can't bring pets to the train, he said evilly, spitting putrid mucose globs of despise at Rocket's faces and snout.
Dave, all I can say is I'm glad you were fired today because I would not want to go into work tomorrow like this.
Nope. Can't go into work tomorrow because I'm fired. Life is good.
R.I.P. job. Oh, rad. It's very... What a weird story to jump into the third season of Legend of Korra at exactly that point with Rocket Raccoon. It's like, what happened today? Oh yeah, that episode of Legend of Korra came out, and so did Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'll just mash them together.
Yay!
What the actual fuck?
Yeah.
Well, here we go. Rocket got very mad and jumped at the man. I'm not a fucking animal, you whore!
Jeez.
Whoa, bringing the vitriol hard.
Yeah.
He said, clawing his face until it was pure white bone.
Clawing his face off. Clawing his face off.
Oh, damn. Ring.
Clawing his face off. Until it was pure white bone, bursting his eyes, eating his nose, and pissing on the wound.
Yeah!
That's a piss raccoon there.
Wow, you're a feisty one, aren't you? Yeah, Gazin complimented. Rocket blushed and got off the dying man.
Got out off the dying man. I may be drunk, but I can still read.
That is a talent.
Got out of...
Off.
What a shitty fucking sentence. Rocket blushed and got out off the dying man. Which they left to die.
Of course.
They entered on the train and sat on two sits.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
I really questioned reading that. No, this is wrong. But no. It's not. A random woman was screaming and yelling, running out of the bus, but getting caught by the closing doors, righteously bisecting her body.
Wow.
Can I just point out that this fanfic that we're reading right now is all Logan's fault?
You're welcome.
Thank you, man. There are such unique word combinations in here. It's really magical. The train started, and Rocket decided to follow his feelings, sitting closer to Gazin.
Oh, God.
Much to his surprise, the beautiful man laid a hand on his knee.
I don't know how to say this, but shh. Don't.
And thus, Rocket kissed Gazin on the lips, pulling him to a full kiss.
Excuse me, but you're going to have to leave. That's disgusting, said an evil, ugly, and ugly man. Hasuk!
You know what? Disgusting? It's spelled phonetically correct. That's so...
Yep.
Oh my god.
Rocket got mad. So he jumped up at him and slit his throat.
Jumped at him.
Jeez.
He jumped up my dick hole and slit its throat. Rocket got mad, so he jumped up at him and slit his throat, killing him. Then returned to Gazan's loving embrace. Everyone cheered at how cute they looked together, remaining cuddled for the rest of the journey. When the train stopped, Gazan and Rocket held each other's hands as they walked out of it. Ever since I saw you... Oh, wrong voice. Ever since I saw you, I knew we were meant to be, said Rocket passionately and sexily. Oh, Rocket, I love you so much, Gazan said, and the two kissed again. They walked into an alley and began to kiss each other passionately, as you do in alleys. Gazan
of course
took out his shirt, revealing his sexy man beneath...
revealing his sexy man-beast body of muscles.
Yes. Gazan took out his shirt, revealing his sexy man-beast body of muscles, which Rocket drooled over like a dog, feeling up and kicking with much pleasure.
Licking.
Jesus Christ. Your fucking glasses. Again. Feeling up and licking with much pleasure. Now it's your turn, said Gazan lustfully. Rocket gulped and nervously took out his vestments, revealing his scarred and mutilated implants, much to Gazan's surprise.
I understand if you don't want to do this anymore, Rocket said, turning away and crying, holding his body with his arms like women in Lifetime movies.
Oh my god, did he really just...
He did.
Oh my god.
He did! Blue, blue, blue. I'm a little raccoon who's been experimented on. Oh, blue, blue, blue.
Hot.
But Gazan understood and kissed him passionately again. I understand and I love you, regardless. Besides, some of your chest implants look really hot, like nipples made of metal.
No.
Made of metal.
This is like Inspector Gadget levels of...
Yep.
I'm gonna tweak them like dials on a radio.
I'm really expecting a Go-Go Gadget dildo at this point.
No, I'm just seeing the Monty Python sketch animation in my head where the guy twists the painting's nipples and tunes the radio.
Oh, Gazan, Rocket said with much happiness, tears of emotion, and kissed his lover passionately like 10,000 red dwarfs.
Oh, God.
Which is
God.
To say Native
oh,
American
God.
Midgets.
Somebody found a picture of Kim Possible from the last fanfiction.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh damn.
No. Yeah. Thank you, Phantom Strider. That is amazing.
Dear God.
Oh, she's got a gigantic boner.
She does have a gigantic boner, and I'm not down with that because there's too much muscle there. Also, it looks like she just took somebody who was a bodybuilder and pasted Kim Possible's face on it.
Yep. Gloves.
I am rushing for more drink.
Gots to, man. There's nothing else we can do.
Logan.
Hey, Logs. Logs.
What's up?
Logan, can we get some smite to get rid of this when we're done?
No. He promised me Smash after this.
Yeah,
Smash. Oh, yeah, I'll play some Smash, too.
Also, Logan, you're next.
All right, let's see here.
Also, thank you, Cap, for reading that to a point where I probably won't be mentally scarred tomorrow.
The two made out passionately before Rocket began unbuttoning Gazan's pants, revealing his powerful 7-inch cock, proportionally thick like a pillar. And with a slight curvature to the top, Rocket took out his own pants, revealing his raccoon penis, and laid on top of his lover, their dicks frotting and grinding each other as they kissed.
Frotting?
Frotting. It's when the two dicks rub together, and it's sex for real men. Their balls frictioned on each other, and it was...
Frictioned on each other.
Frictioned. And it was especially pleasurable as the raccoon hairs tickled Gazhan's scrotum.
Sounds like you're saying jazz hands.
Yeah.
Jazz hands scrotum. That's the episode title.
Wait, jazz hands scrotum?
Jazz hands scrotum.
I like it.
Rocket wrapped his paw around both their dicks and masturbated, increasing their friction and pleasure. Rocket liked... and played with Gazhan's nipples, rubbing them softly with his nails.
masturbating, and dove his snout into his crotch, licking and savoring that wondrous man penis that was leaking pre-cum.
I need to go to the bathroom and finish myself off.
Disgusting.
I would hope so.
Oh, my love, your tongue is like it's made of true pansy.
What?
What? Probably the flower?
What the fuck is true pansy?
What? Like a true flower.
As Rocket licked his penis head, tapping on the urethra with his tongue. Then Azen grabs him and put him in a 69 position, raising his tail and licking his purple raccoon asshole. His tongue first lapped, then circled the wrinkly skin, then penetrated like a flexible penile organ of indignity alienation. Oh, Gazan, your mouth-ria penis is so amazing, moaned Rocket in earthly and heavenly delights. Not Rhea, elephant Rhea. I don't know what that means.
I don't get it. Diarrhea? What's going on?
The two continued to pleasure each other as this, and then Rocket had an orgasm, coming all over Gazan's belly of muscles and mountainous abs. But Rocket recovered quickly, ever lustful in sexiness, kissing Gazan on the lips and utting his moist anal hole.
Moisty anal hole.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Slowly, the already gaping, tongue-fucked ass sat on Gazhan's powerful erection. Rocket bit his lip, but Gazhan kissed him softly between the ears, and he lowered further onto his erection.
Lube.
Oh, Gazhan, your whore stick is so big, rocketing. Get it?
Steve Van Sickle. In the last line, because I like doing this to Logan, he gets one sentence at the end.
Gazan groaned with pleasure, and Rocket sped up the pace. Oh, Rocket, your ass is so tight. I'm going to come soon.
You know what? You're verging on Dr. Frankenfurter. Can you go full Frankenfurter?
It has actually been so long since I've seen that.
Rocket?
Come inside me, my love. And so the two kissed. With a final thrust, Gazan ejaculated, sending ropes upon ropes of semen into Rocket's colon.
What is it with semen turning into ropes of thing? What
the okay. Also, I thought he was going to say ejected instead of ejaculated.
Steve, have you ever shot semen out of your dick?
Yes, they don't come out as a braided rope.
No, it...
Well, then you're just doing it wrong.
It's described as ropey streams, as in they come out.
By whom? Isn't it a fucking medical dictionary?
Everyone.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to Google ropes of semen.
Why would you do that?
You do that.
That is just going to end in tragedy.
Fan fiction.
Oh my god! It's sex Reddit. How do I get those thick ropes of cum and lots of it?
Article.
I like it.
Can you say dunk?
My wife, he loves facials and she wants more. I've tried to space them out to increase quantity. What else can I do? How long do I have to... It's like it was written for the fanfiction.
Both lovers held each other in bliss, listening to each other's breaths. I love you, Gazan. I love you, Rocket. And the two kissed, but then something bad occurred. Rocket began to disappear! Oh no! The semen and the kiss must have activated the Asgardian recall protocols!
What?
What?
Right. Okay.
Sure!
I'm on board.
It means I'm being sent back home! But I love you! I promise I'll find a way back!
What?
And then Rocket disappeared. Gazan cried bitter tears of depression, missing his beloved Rocket so much. But he had a job to do, so he dressed up again, blew up the Ba Sing Se wall, and mourned in grief. I don't know what to do with that.
Just go with your heart.
Okay. Rocket was back in the ship. Quill, Gamora, and Dax were all there. judging mockingly and disapprovingly. I found out your Asgardian rope, moaned Gamora evilly and sluttily because she was a fucking whore. Biggest failure at suicide ever. Then you had to go and copulate with an earthbending homo shit, shouted Quill angrily. Are you a fag or what?
Well, this guy's like really kind of jerky, especially after, you know, fucking true love and shit, right? Like, I don't approve of human raccoon copulation, but come on, man. Dude deserves some happiness.
Fuck you, retards. I thought you were my friends, but it turns out you're all mean-spirited idiots in the closet. Go fuck yourselves. Gamora, Quill, and Dax got very mad. So they jumped, but Rocket's interdimensional travel granted him airbending, so he sucked their lungs out and ate
what?
Them, killing them.
Wait. I want to go back to that sentence. Gamora, Quill, and Dax got very mad, so they jumped on him, but Rocket's interdimensional travel granted him airbending, so he sucked their lungs out and ate them, killing them.
Man,
sat down.
But you know what? That adds another episode title, Semen Lasso.
No, I like the first one.
Which one? There were like six first ones.
I like
Ropes of Hands. Ropes of Cuff. Oh, no, Jazz Hands Scrotum.
I like Jazz Hands Scrotum.
Then he sat down and cried in grief.
Logan.
Is it one line, you motherfucker?
Kazan, my love, I'll find you.
My God, what the hell just happened? I don't even remember what happened in the last 2 hours.
Well, we read 3 fanfics, and now we're all dead. This is Valhalla. We are fighting warriors who died honorably.
Also, can I just say, my last swig of mead had a piece of glass in it.
Oh, good.
Well, what? I hope I don't find you dead tomorrow morning.
What, from a lacerated stomach? Was...
Yeah.
I lived a good life.
That's like that scene from Archer. And then there was one Steuben glass.
If I don't survive, tell my wife hello.
So I'm looking more at the Ask a Shitty Doctor Reddit. Like, one of the questions is like, can a baby survive on man milk?
What the hell happened tonight?
You got really drunk.
No. I know that. But we talked about Cloud and Eris. Cloud and Tifa realizing that Eris could be revived, and then Eris sodomizing both of them to the point where they slept through part of the sodomization
while still being skeletal. Let that sink in.
Yep.
Kim Possible putting on 2 muscle rings and having multiple orgasms with her nemesis with an entire hand and arm in her vagina. And Rocket and Kazan finding true
doing
love.
Doing a thing.
Yeah.
They were best buddies and they went to the theme park together.
Like, hold on.
You never take me to the theme park.
I would say for our first episode of Friday Night Fanfiction recorded on Monday, this is pretty good.
Not so tell them our secrets. This is live.
Told them that at the beginning of the episode.
I don't remember that. I've had 4 drinks.
4?
Okay, well, 2.5.
Oh my God, why did
God, it's such a fucking
I life. Wanted to sound like a big man in front of the kids.
There's an Ask a Shitty Doctor that speaks to my native heritage. My girlfriend told me she has Gentile warts. How is that possible if she's Jewish?
You know, I'd ask myself that same very question.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, normal ending. I would like to thank all of our readers. David, Val as the referee.
I'm not a reader.
You're the referee. You're always thanked as the referee. David, Logan, Cap, Steve, myself, our listeners, and anybody else who listens in. Thank you all for tuning into Friday Night. Fuck, what the hell happened between Rocket and Kazan?
Well, you see, when a man and a raccoon that's anthropomorphized loves each other very much.
You know what? I wish my like high school science sex films were of that origin, because as it was, they basically covered up all the good bits with black paper.
Oh, yeah. You're not supposed to know what your naughty bits do.
What happened between Kazan and Rocket? I think the kids these days call it bending.
Cap, what did you think about that Kim Possible fic?
Well, I think it was actually the most straightforward of the three.
Straight?
Yeah, well, It was, I mean, you know, it was just extreme muscle porn, and it was poorly written, and it involved a children's television show. The others, though, the others were definitely more mind bending. There was a certain kind of, you know, psychotic breakdown element to them, where
you really need to suspend disbelief.
Yeah, well, you know, where you can say, all right, so first you assassinate the queen of a country, you got business to do, but a beautiful raccoon emerges from her corpse. And you say to yourself, I am in love. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the train, even though the entire city's in panic and there's looting everywhere and we really need to get out of here and, you know, blow up the walls and all that shit. But I'm going to take a train to some corner of Ba Sing Se and I'm going to fuck this raccoon in an alley privately.
Because
you cannot see.
That is, oh, that's a great summary, too.
Yep.
And, you know, they could have just done it there. They could have done it on the queen's bed. He went out. He went out.
Well, to take, you know, you gotta wine and dine.
On her corpse.
That's true. In the guts.
It would have added lubrication, and they would have had more time to do it before Rocket had to leave.
And then they'd be warm when the winter storms on Hoth came.
I gotta back it up though, Steve, because part of the reason, if we look at the continuity here, part of the reason that Rocket left was because he had human semen from another world shot inside of his bowels.
Yep.
So. You know, we can't discount that. That's a very important factor that we all should be aware of. That if ever human semen enters your bowels, you will return to your home dimension.
At long last, we know the truth.
Because my whole life is a lie.
So shooting into the colon is a banish spell. Awesome.
Yeah.
That will be super effective.
Yeah.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanFiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits. Level 99, Fanfic Nation. Level 99, Rolling Thunder, aka Fasto's Adventure Theme. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.